Our message is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would like to read along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in this portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians. He is saying, "Brethren, I want to preach the gospel to you." That's what he says to them. And I say the same thing right now to you. I want to preach the gospel to you. If you look at verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." He said, "I want to declare to you again that same gospel that I preached to you in the beginning." He said, "The same message that I preached to you before, I want to preach it again." He said to the Corinthians, "It's the one that you received by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God opened up that message to you and gave you faith to believe it." And he said, "You're standing in it. You're standing on it. You're standing with it, the true gospel." He said, "I want to declare the gospel one more time. Our Lord commanded us to go unto all the world and preach the gospel." The gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." He said to the Galatians, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." He said, "Which is not another." There's not another one. There's only one. So Paul said, "Brethren, I'm not here to declare a gospel to you. I'm here to declare the gospel to you, the one and only gospel that there is." The Scripture calls it the gospel of God in Romans 1, verse 1, the gospel of God. Romans 1, 16 calls it the gospel of Christ. Matthew 4 calls it the gospel of the kingdom. Acts 20 calls it the gospel of grace. Romans 10 calls it the gospel of peace. 1 Timothy 1 calls it the glorious gospel. Romans 14 calls it the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel. And Ephesians 1 says it is the gospel of your salvation. The good news of your salvation. And here it is. If you want to look with me at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures. Paul said, "I want to declare to you again the gospel that I first preached to you, the only gospel that there is concerning how Christ died for our sins, and how he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, I would like to begin our declaration here understanding this first. We need to understand this first. This is so important. Many people declare, many men will stand up in pulpits and they will declare that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. But in the process of declaring that, they leave out the gospel. That's the truth. That is the truth. Even after preaching that Christ died you'll hear men stand up and talk about the fact that Christ died on the cross. And he was buried and he rose again. Even after preaching that, they still haven't preached the gospel. This happens often. This right here is the first thing we need to get a hold of if we're going to declare the gospel. That declaration is not just concerning the fact that Christ died and that he was buried and that he rose again. Paul didn't just say, I'm going to declare to you that Christ died. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to declare to you how Christ died. That's the key. That's the important key. The gospel declaration is concerning how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Verse 3, Paul said, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died. How? That's the gospel. That truly is the gospel. That is the gospel of our salvation. That is the glorious gospel. How? Why? That's the everlasting gospel and the gospel of peace and grace, the gospel of God. How Christ died for the sins of his people. How he died. Now, understanding that, let's ask this question. How did Christ die? How did Christ die? If we can answer that question, we will have declared the gospel. How did Christ die? Verse 3. Paul said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Number one, Christ died according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. He died as the Scriptures said he would die, as they prophesied that he would die. He died in the way that the Scriptures said he would die. And he died because that's what the Scripture said the wages of sin was. That's what the Scripture said God demanded as the penalty and judgment against sin. And we're going to see that as we continue to declare this. If you'd like to follow with me here, you can go to Isaiah 42 with me. Over in Isaiah chapter 42, Christ died according to the Scriptures, meaning as the Scriptures said he would die. This right here is the Father speaking of Christ. I have a heading at the top of my page, and it says, The Office of Christ. This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, God the Father says concerning God the Son, He said, Behold my servant. Behold Christ, the Father says, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. He's my elect. I choose him. Mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He's going to bring judgment to truth. I love verse 4. It says, He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Verse 5 says, Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it. God gives breath to every man and woman. And spirit to them that walk therein. God gives all that. Verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. The Father said, I will give Christ for a covenant to the people. A covenant for the people. What does he mean, a covenant for the people? Well, if you look at Isaiah 43, verse 14, it says, Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer. Your Redeemer. He means, I will promise my Son to them, to give his life for them, to redeem them from all their sin, to make the payment required for all their sin, to buy them back from their bankruptcy of sin. Christ died as the Scripture said he would die. All of the Scripture declared that he would come to be the Redeemer of his people. He also died in the way that the Scripture said he would die. If you look at Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Pilate kept asking him, Will you not answer me? He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He died. He died. Verse 9 says, And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And he did. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Christ died according to the Scriptures. All the Old Testament stories and pictures and types, all of it, declare how Christ would die for the sins of his people. Our Lord said, and think about this, our Lord said, Moses wrote of me. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. And every time Moses was talking about God, every time Moses mentioned, I am, all of his encounters with God in a burning bush and all of the types and stories and pictures, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Moses was talking about me. Moses wrote of me. It was all about me. The ark, you know, people talk about Noah's ark. Men stand up in pulpits and they talk about all these old stories and they bring, you know, stories of morality and stories of duty and stories of heroism and that kind of thing. And they miss Christ in the process. They missed Christ. The ark is Christ. The ark is Christ. Every soul in the ark lived. Every soul out of the ark died. Every soul bore the judgment of God. The judgment rained down on that ark just like it rained down on the rest of the world. But for every soul in the ark, that ark bore the judgment for them. It bore the beating of that rain for them. And in that ark, they rose above it. Well, that's Christ. That's a picture of Christ. That's a picture that Christ would die. That's a picture of how Christ would die and why Christ would die. For his people. You've heard of the story of the rock that was smitten. Moses, who represents the law, struck the rock. The people were thirsty and dying and in need. And God said, Here's how I'm going to supply that need. He said, Moses, you strike the rock. The law of judgment struck Christ. That was Christ. That Passover lamb, the lamb that was slain, that's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when I see the blood of that lamb, I'll spare you. I'll pass over you. My judgment will be satisfied. That's Christ. The manna that came down every day for the people and fed the people and sustained the people. That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That brazen serpent on a pole, Moses made a serpent of brass on a pole. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's Christ. Those snakes were killing the people, biting the people, killing the people. And Christ was made to be the very thing that was killing his people, sin. That's why that brazen serpent was put on a pole. That's why Christ was compared to this venomous serpent. He was made to be sin for his people, that he might bear the judgment of God for his people, to redeem his people. Christ died according to the Scriptures. Do we see that? All right, turn with me to Hebrews 9. If you're following along with me, let's go to Hebrews 9. Verse 27 says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." It doesn't say all men and women on this earth, but it, thank God, it does say many. "All that the Father gave to him to bear their sins for them. It's appointed unto man once to die and go stand before the judgment." And Hebrews 9 says, Christ did that for his people. Verse 28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." It's appointed unto men once to die, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. How did Christ die? He died according to the law. He died according to the Scripture, the prophecy of the Scripture, the declaration of the Scripture. He died according to the law. Romans 6 says, "The wages of sin is death." That's what the law demanded. And God the Father laid all the sin of his people on Christ his Son. Therefore, according to the law, think about this. God the Father laid the sin of his people, took them off of his people, and laid them on his Son. Now, because he is bearing sin, because he has sin on him, the Scripture says he bore our sins inside his body on the tree, in his body. And with him bearing that sin, now the law looks at him and says, "You must die. The wages of sin is death." Paul, you know, people make this statement. You'll hear people say this all the time. They'll say, "If I would have been alive back when Christ died on the cross, I would have stopped that." Well, then we would have broken the law. We would have facilitated Christ breaking the law. That's the fact of the matter. Our Lord died according to the law. According to God's holy law, he had to die. He himself said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Ought he not to have suffered them?" As the one who bore the sin, didn't the law say he had to die? Well, it most certainly did. And what that tells us is he was just in justifying his people. How can God say to one sinner in Christ, "You are free to go," and say to another sinner outside of Christ, "You are judged to condemnation"? How? Here's the only way. The judgment of the soul in Christ has to have already been accomplished. No one's sins are swept under the rug. The judgment comes. But either Christ bore them for his people, or we must bear them alone. He was just according to the law in justifying his people. So Christ died according to the types and the pictures of the Scripture. Christ died according to the law of the Scripture. Now over in John chapter 6, it says in John 6 verse 38, our Lord said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me," that's who Christ died for, every soul the Father gave to him, "of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Christ died according to the will of the Father. He said, this is my Father's will. Isaiah 53, we were just there a second ago. It says there in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise Christ. From the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Here's the reason why. It's because God the Father loved some sinful people in this wicked world, and he chose to redeem them by giving the life of his own Son as the payment for their sin. How did Christ die? He died according to the will of the Father. And along with his Father's will, he died according to his own will. If you look at John 10, verse 11 says, our Lord here said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, he said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one. We are one. Christ's will was not separate from his Father's will. He was not forced to give up his life by anyone. He willingly gave it up. He bowed his own head and gave up his ghost. So he died as the willing Savior. The cross was no surprise to him. He said, for this cause came I into the world. This is the whole reason I came into the world. He willingly bore the shame. He willingly endured the cross. Hebrews 12 says, for the joy that was set before him. So the good news of the gospel is not just in the fact that Christ died. It's in how he died. How he died. He died according to the scripture. He died according to the law. He died according to his Father's will. He died according to his own will. Now, if you look with me at John chapter 11, it says in John 11, verse 47, then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles. They're speaking of the Lord here. They're trying to bring him before this council to condemn him to death. And verse 48 says, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. This is the Jews saying this. If we just leave it alone, we'll lose our authority here. Verse 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Christ died as the substitute for his people. He died so they would not have to. He died to accomplish their death for them. When he said that it was finished, it was all finished. It was all finished. Never will his people have to endure what he has already endured for them as their substitute. He died according to mercy, not giving his people what they deserve because he gave it to himself instead. He died according to grace, taking no price from his people. It was his free gift to them. free favor. And the last one we'll look at for this message is in John 15. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He died as the friend of sinners. How did Christ die? How did Christ die? This is a glorious statement to me. He died as the friend of sinners. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner like I'm a sinner? He died bearing the sin of sinners, suffering the judgment for sinners. He was buried bringing the very sin that he paid for to a place that it could never return again. And he was raised again, proving that those sins were put away forever. And the judgment of God was satisfied. It was all satisfied and done. I'll tell you, that is the gospel. That is the gospel. That is the true gospel. That is my gospel. I pray that's your gospel. And I say that only because that's God's gospel. That's nobody's gospel but God's gospel. And those that God gives faith to believe his gospel. That is the glorious news of redemption. How Christ died for our sins. The song says, "Once more to tell it, would I embrace." We started this with Paul telling them, "I want to tell you the same gospel one more time. Once more to tell it. Once more to hear it. Would I embrace? I'm only a sinner saved by grace." That is the gospel one more time. And I pray that God will make that gospel to be a blessing to our hearts. I truly do.